All right, we'll be in Matthew 25, reading 14 through 30, and the words will be up on the screen. Try to follow along as Christ tells another parable about his coming and the long delay. So beginning in verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will be more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" May God help us to understand his word. Bless it to our hearts. Father, open the word to our hearts as we examine this other parable. Convict us, challenge us. And I pray that each one of us here are ready when the Master, you, come back for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Being productive in the kingdom of God. Again, all of these parables have to do with a long delay before Jesus comes. And so far, we have not necessarily been told in depth what we are to be doing during that delay, though there has been some hint of serving others and providing for others. But we answer that question today. I read this week that there was a family visiting Niagara Falls, and it was in the wintertime, it was freezing cold, and coming down into the falls were icy water with like broken up blocks of ice. And inside some of these blocks of ice, there were fish that had died. And so the gulls would land on the blocks of ice, and they would peck at the ice and peck at the ice to try to get to the fish and eat it. Well, as soon as they got to the edge of the falls, the gulls would fly away, saving their lives. And my guess is they flew back down and started over again. Well, this family was watching this one scene where there was a gull on top of the ice and eating away and eating away and got closer and closer to the edge of the falls. And they began to wonder, oh my goodness, it's getting pretty close. And so the gull realized that it was now getting ready to go over the edge and flapped his wings and actually lifted the ice block up a little bit. But what happened is the icy waters had covered his talons and he was frozen to the block of ice. And as much as he flapped his wings and as little bit he got above the water, it was too late. And down the falls he went, no doubt to his death. Well, during his delay, he delayed too long. He was unaware. He was caught in a place he should not have been. because he was not prepared and went to its death. That's what Jesus is telling in all these parables. Are you ready? Are you prepared while I delay my coming? And we are told to be disciples prepared for the long delay. But we have yet to answer the question, as I said, what are we to be doing during this delay? Do we go up to a mountain and, as I've said in our study of Thessalonians, with our wine and cheese and just wait and do nothing? This parable answers the question, what we are to be doing, and it also clarifies who truly are God's children in the delay. Because what we do during the delay will show us if we truly belong to the King or not. It'll tell us what we really think of the Master, which is, of course, Jesus. And it will reveal what path we truly are on in His kingdom while we delay. So let's go back and look at the parable that we read here. First of all, what the Master gave. Let's just go through this account, verses 14 and 15. Now remember, back in these days, slaves were not like what we think of as a slave, like in Civil War times. Many of the slaves were partners in their master's businesses. They were teachers. They were educators. They were sometimes seen as family members, but they were not viewed as way down here. They were not beaten. They were not treated like dirt. And in this case, these slaves were the master's very special people to him. And so the master decides to give to these slaves His property. It belonged to him. And he puts it into the hands of the slave. The Bible word is steward. A steward is somebody that manages what is given to him or her, but it does not belong to him or her. Oftentimes, somebody will say something about my house, or I'll say, well, my house, and then I'll say, well, it's technically the bank's house, you know. I'm technically a steward. The Greek word is oikonomeo. Oikos is the word house. Nomos is the word law. So it's how somebody wants their house ruled. Makes great sense. It's a great word. So the owner, the master, gave to these three slaves in the parable what didn't belong to them, but what belonged, what the owner owned. Now, it says here in our verses that he gave them talents. This is not natural abilities. This is not gifts. This is, in that day, an amount of weight or measurement. An amount of probably silver and gold. And I found a picture of gold that I thought was pretty neat, so we'll use gold today up there. And so that's what it was. This master gave to these slaves a huge amount of money, a huge amount of silver or gold or some precious metal, whatever it was. And they were handed out to each one. Did you notice that in verse 15? According to each one's ability. The master knew each slave. The master knew what to give each slave according to their ability. Now, this is not salvation by works. That's not what this is teaching. It simply shows that each one had different levels of responsibility. The master knew that, and the master decided to give five to one, two to another, and one to our third slave. And notice that also in verse 15, we have that same theme again. Then he went away. And Jesus is, just parable after parable after parable, wanting us to know it's a delay. It's a long delay. Don't fall asleep. Bring plenty of oil. Serve others. This is what my true children do. So here's summary of first point. Master gives us what belongs to him. The master leaves us. The slaves decide to do with what the master gave them in his absence. Which leads us to the second point of the parable, what the slaves did. And as we read through that, you saw there was a huge difference. Now notice verse 16. He who had received the five talents went at once. Boy, I think that says a mouthful right there. At once. Some scholars believe that they did not wait until the master left. As soon as the master said, here's five talents. And by the way, this is a huge, huge amount. Some said this was even equal to maybe a year's or a lifetime's wages back there. These were huge amounts, kind of noting the fact that anything God gives us is a wonderful gift. So this slave left at once, and probably the second slave did the same. And they began to invest the master's assets. Some think they simply invested the money. I tend to believe what some scholars think, that they went out and started a business. And they started a business with the talent that he gave, whatever it was. Maybe they were selling car washes for camels. I'm not sure what they were doing. But they sold some kind of something or invested it in order to give back to the master that they cared for. So that's the first two slaves, the five-talent slave, the two-talent slave. And now we got our little buddy, the third-talent slave here. Let's see what he did. And we skip 17. He also had the two talents, made two talents more. So they doubled the talents. The first two doubled for their master. But he who received the one talent, and one talent would still be a huge amount, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, didn't picture this guy out there doing that. The other two are going out there, and they are starting a business, and they're selling alignments for donkeys and camels, and they're selling beautiful pots and pottery or whatever they happen to be doing, or opened up a grocery or maybe a Cracker Barrel or whatever they opened up to sell and make money for the master. This guy finds a place, and I can just picture him with his shovel, whatever kind of shovel they had then, you know, making sure nobody sees him, walking out there, and this looks like a good spot right here. Maybe it was the dead of night, and he digs, and you know, maybe he puts a rock over it so nobody can see the loose dirt, and he buries it in the ground. He played it safe. He played it safe. I will not step out on a limb. I will not walk by faith. I will not risk anything. I will always play it safe. So that's what the slaves did. Thirdly, what the slaves received. You see, the master always comes back. Every parable we've gone through, the master or the bridegroom always comes back. So we know Jesus is coming back. We just don't know when. And we know that we now are living in this long, long delay. And so again, the emphasis is verse 19. Now, after a long time, I mean, how many more times can Jesus let us know? After a long time, the master of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. So we have the first two slaves in verses 20 to 23. And each of the slave approached his master in verse 20. He who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more. Now I picture him having a big wagon or something and bringing this here. And I don't know, maybe he just had a document that said, I'm not sure, but I like to picture him coming, all right, guys, bring in the wagons. And he's bringing all these wagons. I mean, it was a huge amount, huge amount. One time when Kelly worked at Integra Bank, I was up there. And what do you call that thing where you keep the money? The safe. Is that safe? That's it, the vault. Yeah, the vault door was open, and I couldn't help but peek in there. And I forget who it was, but somebody said, here, look. And there was $1 million in $20 bill stacks. Now, if you were to tell that to me, I would think, I mean, it would fill this room. I could set it up here, right here. It wasn't a whole lot. Because they were those, you ever get a brand new bill? You make sure you separate them so you don't pay $60 for the macaroni and cheese or whatever. You know that. And I thought, that's $1 million? So then I looked for the guard. I didn't see the guard, so I didn't steal it. But anyway, it's irrelevant. I think it's kind of cool for your mind to think about this. So he comes and he says, Master, I've got five more talents. And he says, actually, here, I have five talents more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's just a little. Wow, that's amazing. And so they received praise from the master. The second guy did the same thing. He brought two. Here, I've got two. Here's two more talents. And then he got the same exact praise. So they received praise from the master. They received more responsibility. If you'll be faithful to what I give you, you'll even get more. Now, don't take this and do like some wealth and health preachers. You know, you serve God and you'll be a millionaire tomorrow, but don't forget to send us our $10,000 check, right? That's not what Jesus is teaching. And then the amazing thing, thirdly, it says, enter, at the end of verse 21, enter into the joy of your master. Didn't Jesus say, I came to give you my joy? And so one of the blessings that the slaves had was they got to experience the same joy of the master. We can experience the same joy as our master, Christ. So that's the first two slaves. The master is thrilled. The master is happy. These slaves have added to the master's assets. They didn't just play it safe. They didn't just bring back what they were given. They actually were productive, which is a key word in this parable. However, verse 24 and 25 tells us of our little buddy, the third slave. Verses 24 and 25. This guy's got a problem. His big problem was he had an attitude about the master. Look at verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, even a huge amount, came forward saying, now can you picture this guy? He's in line. He's behind the first two guys with the wagons. He's got a little pouch or whatever he's got. Or maybe just a little, maybe he's got a small tiny donkey carrying his silver or whatever. You wonder if he was thinking at all, I just might be in trouble here. We don't know. Verse 24. Master, I knew you to be a hard man. You usually don't say that to your boss. Reaping where you did not sow and you gather where you didn't do any work. Ooh. He is accusing his master of exploiting and using other people. I know you're a hard man. You don't raise your hand or finger to do any work. You just take from others. Whoa. You see an attitude about this slave towards the master. So he blames the master and excuses himself. What am I supposed to do? If I lose it, you might punish me anyway. At least maybe I can bring you back what is yours. So look at verse 25. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And he says the same thing here. You have what is yours. So he actually said, here's your talent. Now I got a sneaking suspicion that the slave is thinking, well, I didn't lose any money. I'm bringing you back exactly what you gave me. You can't be too upset, but that's not what the master wants in the delay. The master wants productivity. Well, interesting. The master answered him in verse 26, the master's response. You know, I am a hard guy, and you did the right thing burying it. Ooh, no. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown. He used his own argument against him. You knew I was like this. You knew that I have people that work for me. And you know I gather where I didn't scatter any seed. I pay people to do that. I call people to do that. If you knew that about me, verse 27, then you ought to have at least invested my money with the bankers. So apparently back then there was a banking system. Probably didn't have the FDIC like we have, you know, and automatic tellers so you can go to the fall festival and pig out and get your cash out and all that. But there were bankers and investors so that at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So again we see the master desires productivity. Even if it was just a little bit, I want you to add to my assets. That's what I've called you to do. Now look at verse 29. For to everyone who has will more be given, just what he gave to the first two guys, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he gave his talent to the guy that had 10. And he now goes to a place of darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the clear spiritual meaning is this. True followers of Christ are productive in the delay. That's what this parable is teaching. We are productive. Well, now let's apply this. Let's just see if we can make this easy to grab. One scholar said this about delay. It is not a matter of passively waiting, but of responsible activity, producing results which the coming master can see and approve. For the period of waiting was not intended to be an empty, meaningless delay, but a period of opportunity to put to good use the talents entrusted to his slaves. Very well put. So first point we'll have on the screen, be productive knowing what you have is not yours. That's what this parable teaches, a great application. In verse 14, it tells us that he entrusted to his servants his property. It was not the servant's property. And all three of these servants, these slaves, by the way, slaves is a much better depiction than servants here. That's the Greek word. All three acknowledge it was not theirs. Verses 20 and 22, the first both say, you delivered to me. And the third servant in verse 25 says, I hid your talent. Here you have what is yours. All three of them recognized that what they were given belonged to the master. Now, there's a difference of opinions of what the application here of talents is. Is it natural abilities that you're born with? Are they your spiritual gifts? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Is it money? I like what one scholar said, quote, they are specific privileges and opportunities of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if we have specific privileges and opportunities in the kingdom of heaven, well, surely then our natural abilities can be used in that, our gifts can be used in that, the display of the fruit of the Spirit can be used in that, and even the use of our money for God's kingdom. So I'm taking the easy way out and say it's all of them, all right? But the talents in the parable is money. And the point is clearly this, produce and add to what I've given you. You see, there is no percentage that belongs to God and some that belongs to you. Well, 10% is God's. 90% is yours. That's never in the Scripture anyway. 100% is God's. 100% is God's. Whatever you have. Your car, your house, your physical makeup, your money, your abilities, your talents, your gifts. 100% is God's. There is no 10% and 90%. Everything, our material possessions, our children, our spouse, our grandchildren, even our very existence is His. In Acts 17, Paul worded it this way, in Him we live and move and have our being. Psalm 24:1 in 1 Corinthians 10 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Be productive, knowing everything you have is not yours. It's not your this, your car, your kids, your money, your food, your clothes, your looks. It's all God's. Paul worded it this way in 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Even your salvation is all from God. The Spirit of God is within you if you're a child of God. It's His. You are not your own. Wow. That'd be good just to put on the wall in our living room every day and see. You are not your own, but I want to be my own. I want to do things my way. You know, Frank Sinatra sang, I did it my way. You are not your own. Why are you not your own? Because you were bought with a price. You have no hope apart from that. So then, glorify God in your body. So we are to be productive in the delay, knowing that what we have, everything, is God's. Now, I remember when I was in high school, I was such an awesome young teenager. I was mature beyond my age. No, I was not. I was a little punk like the rest of you were when you were in high school, right? But I do remember one day when my mom was driving me up to Central High School, and I think for whatever reason I was in a particular ornery mood that morning, and I have no idea what the discussion was or what I had said or why I said what I said. I cannot remember whatsoever because, you know, you black those things out of your mind. But I said something about my horn, my trumpet playing. And I said, well, I'm just going to quit playing anyway. Ooh, that didn't go over well. I don't even know if she remembers that. Maybe not, but I didn't forget it. And I remember that she turned around because I was in the back seat and she was in the front seat driving, and she turned around and she said, the reason we've paid all this money for your instruments and your private lessons is so that you would play for the Lord. Now, as a teenager at that time, I didn't say, oh, I repent of my sin and get that, you know. I didn't let her know that, but that never left me. And all of a sudden, playing that thing meant a lot more to me than it ever did. Why? Because it was something she gave to me. You see, we are to be productive knowing that what we have been given is a gift. It's not ours. And in fact, as I talk about that, that reminds me that that horn there, my brother bought that for me about 20-some years ago. And I probably told you the story. He just called me up and said, hey, what do you need? And I said, well, at the church, we need this. And the church, he said, no. What do you need? And I jokingly said, how about a new horn? He said, okay, let's go get it. You're kidding me. That's too expensive. No, let's go get it. So that horn is special to me because of that. Not that I wouldn't maybe trade it in for a nicer one eventually, but I love it. Doesn't it change our perspective? Hey, wait a minute. God gave me this voice to sing. God gave me this talent to serve. God give me this servant heart to mow the grass or to paint or to build. Whatever God gave you to serve changes the whole meaning of it. Secondly, be productive in the delay, knowing your relationship with your master. It seems very clear to me that the first two slaves loved their master. Right away they went out. Here's your huge sum. I'm out of here. Okay, what can I sell? What can I do? How can I aid? How can I help my master? There clearly seemed to be a love, a respect, a regard, a concern. But our third slave, he just blames his master. You're just a jerk. You're just a... And all of us have probably had bosses like that and maybe worked for an owner like that, where you thought, man, you're just a man, you know, words you can only mutter, not say out loud, not in his presence. That was his attitude. But for a true child of God, it is a natural desire to be productive for your master in whatever he gave you. And being productive brings joy. And it brings a happiness to serve other people. It brings a joy to even just cut the yard of the church property. To be able to look back and say, wow, looks pretty good. And our guys here do an amazing job. And this isn't even our property. You know, that even makes it more special to me. And I could just run down through the whole list. But this third guy's labeled what? Wicked and slothful. Slothful is the word the Bible uses. We've changed it to lazy or depressed, but it's amazing the scriptures use slothful. Why? What does slothful come from? Sloth. Some of the greatest commercials on TV involve a sloth, don't they? And I mean, they're just like, listen, if there's 20 seconds to go in the game, you don't want the sloth bringing up the ball. Okay, we're done. That's what he said here in our verses. That's what the master said. And it's clear how he viewed his master. He blamed him. You use people. You're hard. You don't care about people. And you put me in a no-win situation. You see, our productivity reveals our relationship with the master. Thirdly, be productive in what you have been given. Be productive. Remember it said the master gave out according to each one's ability? This doesn't mean you work for your salvation. That's not what this parable is teaching at all. The master simply knows who to give and how much to give, who he decides to give to. It's his choice in his wisdom. But it shows the master knows us intimately and gives to us exactly what is perfect for his kingdom. So today, If you're a child of God, God has given you privileges and opportunities, that which is needed for His kingdom, which is perfect for His kingdom, to be used in a place we call Living Hope Church for all this church and His world, in what you have been given. And it's awesome here in this parable. There's no level of greatness here. 5 is not greater than 1. 5 is not greater than 2. 2 is not greater than 5. That's not in the parable at all. It's simply the master was wise and say, I'm going to give you 5, I'm going to give you 2, and I'm going to give you 1. And I wonder if the third guy was a little ticked off that he didn't get as much as the first 2. You ever get a little ticked off that God didn't give you what He gave others? Anybody else guilty like me? I'm not talking about money either. Kind of convicting, isn't it? But be productive in whatever God decides. Joe Smunkatelli, we haven't had him in a sermon lately. I'm giving you 5 talents. His wife, Susie Smunkatelli, giving you 2 talents. And your child, Boomer Smunkatelli, I'm giving you 1 talent. Well, I can just see little Boomer now. I didn't get as much as Mom. Whatever. No. God decides. The Master decides. There's nothing negative. All of these were huge amounts. 1, 2, and 5. God decides what He gives us. God decides. And be productive. So simply, this is what it is. What you can do for the Master and His kingdom to increase His assets, do it. And we're not increasing His assets because we're earning anything. It's because He earned for us. So what have you been given? And we'll tie this all together. One more point before the conclusion. Number 4, be productive knowing the day of settling accounts is coming. Did you see that in verse 19? Now after a long time, again, that's Jesus' long delay, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. That's the day of settling accounts comes. And the settling accounts occurs because of what's already happened in the life of the person. Have you come to Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sin? He's the only hope, the cross, and the resurrection. Or are you just a pretender? The settling accounts day is coming, and after a long delay, it will come. The first 2 slaves were blessed, given more responsibility in God's kingdom, and they entered in the same joy as the master. Can you imagine having the same joy as Jesus? Whew. Wow, that's almost unfathomable. How do you say that word? It's almost unbelievable, you know? But that's exactly what. But the third slave, his end was just like all the other parables, wasn't it? Same thing. Outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, banished from God's presence because he never truly was a part of God's family, just like Judas. So the day's coming when it's going to be too late. Let's land the plane. In the delay, which is where we are right now, we're not to just sit and wait and do nothing, but a genuine child of God will use what God has given them. Whatever it is. Maybe God gives you 10 talents. Not specifically 10. 10 is a number in Scripture, complete, full. Maybe God has given you 5. Maybe God has given you 2. Maybe God has just given you 1. Maybe God saw fit to give you 1/2. And that's all the fractions I can do. Or maybe 1/4 or 1/8. It doesn't matter. That's what God decides. And what God decides, we need to be content and say, I'm going to take it and I'm going to use it. And I may not be a preacher and I may not be a counselor and I may not be a teacher. And God may have not given me opportunities through music, or God may have not given me abilities to serve maybe in an office in the church. And maybe he's just given me the ability to be a servant. I'm going to serve other people. I'm going to find a way to serve. And God has given me a heart of prayer. And I'm going to pray for other people. And I don't care if it's 10, 5, 2, 1/2, or 1/4. God says, my children are productive. And That's the goal, to serve God and to increase His assets. Not that He needs anymore, but that's our heart. If you don't have a heart like that, you may not be a true child of God. One preacher concluded it, summarized it like this, and then we'll pray. Jesus is setting the story to remind us that there are many Christians who profess to be believers with their lips, but their lives indicate that that man or that woman really doesn't care about the Lord Jesus Christ. They view Christianity as drudgery. They view a personal, viable relationship with Him as extraneous. His kingdom and fellowship with Him are rarely on their minds, and they can't wait to get out of the sanctuary to go get on with something more important. There are many, many Christians who profess Him, but lives are totally devoid of Him. And Jesus is speaking to us about this in this very passage. Father, help us to be productive in Your kingdom, which is one way that gives us assurance that we are Your children. Thank You for the gifts You've given to us, whether it's 100 or whether it's a half. Give us a heart of contentment and a heart that knows it's just by grace. Grace that we're saved and grace that we get to serve. Lord, if there are any here today that Your Spirit of God is working on their heart, that maybe they're truly not part of Your kingdom of God, give them life and truly enable them to enter the kingdom today. Thank You for so many who are productive and use the abilities and talents and privileges and opportunities to serve You while you are delayed. For someday the trumpet will sound and You will return and accounts will be settled. And we're thankful it's all of grace. And we know we're not saved by works, but works do prove that we are saved. So work in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together.